You are listening to the Modern Marriage Podcast with Hannah and Brandon Como. As a marriage and family therapist, I am passionate about helping modern marriages thrive in today's world. Brandon and I understand the challenges that many marriages face, and our goal is to help you navigate life as a modern couple. We will discuss obstacles, share our own experiences, and help you create solutions to have the marriage that you have always wanted.
Good evening and welcome into another edition of The Modern Marriage. I am Brandon Como. That lovely voice that you just heard is my wife, Hannah Como. Good afternoon, Hannah.
Hello. I'm excited about today. How do you feel?
I feel very excited about the show as well. Awesome. As today we are going to talk about the five love languages. And we're not just going to do it as it relates to husband and wife. We're going to do it as in relation to your kids as well. So this will be a very interesting show as we're going to approach that that topic from all angles, if you will.
Absolutely. And this is one of my favorite books. Mm-hmm. Just to go over, it is a book that has been written by Gary Chapman. Mm-hmm. It's called The Five Love Languages. If you are not familiar, definitely grab a copy. Also, if you go to the fivelovelanguages.com, you can take the free quiz. So if you don't want to buy the book, go ahead and take the free quiz. It will give you your love language, your primary and your secondary. Mm-hmm. And it only takes about 5 minutes to do, so it doesn't take long. And you also can do the quiz for your kids as well. So
my wife is a doula licensed therapist. And I bring that up not just in relation to talking about the show, but I also bring that in relation to this issue. Because when we started dating, you know, knowing that she was a marriage and family therapist, I realized that I needed to step up my game as far as, you know, being able to talk about issues such as these. And so when she mentioned to me, hey, have you heard about the five love languages? Mm-hmm. I said, no, I had heard about it, but I hadn't heard like what they were.
Yeah.
You know, nothing more than just a blurb of, hey, these are the five love languages. And so then when I really started digging into them, I was like, okay, now I can understand how couples get to learn each other better through the love languages. Mm-hmm. And how it can help them to have successful marriages. And for us, we, about 6-7 months after we had been dating, we got the opportunity to see Dr. Gary Chapman.
It was really good.
It was.
He came to Lafayette.
He did.
It was really a great conference.
He did. It was a great conference that was held here in Lafayette. And he talked about the five love languages. Mm-hmm. And it just really opened or expounded even more upon what we had been reading for mm-hmm. the past few months, and just making sure that we were the best, you know, but when we eventually got married, but you could also apply it in dating as well, that we were going to be the best mate for each other that we could possibly be.
Absolutely. And I always tell people this, that it's what you put into your marriage, not only when you're in your marriage, but also the beginning stages. And so, Brandon, I'm so glad you were not scared away by the fact that we definitely spent time reading many marriage books before mm-hmm. we got married, in the stage of being engaged. And I feel like it was a really great foundation for our relationship. And I strongly recommend that if you are considering getting married with someone, or you're in early stages of your marriage, or maybe if you've just been married for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
It's the continued investment that you make reading books together, marriage books, talking about your relationship, going to conferences. I can't, you know, encourage this enough, how important this is to investing in your relationship.
And I remember him, Dr. Chapman himself, speaking about the issue. This isn't just something for young married couples or for those wanting to get married. Mm-hmm. That there was an example he gave of a couple that was like in their 80s. That made it a point to attend at least one marriage conference per year.
Absolutely. Still investing.
You have to.
It never stops.
It never stops.
They might be retired, but you never stop investing in your marriage.
Absolutely. So, you always have to be ever learning.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to repeat that, because it's true. You never, ever have all the answers when it comes to marriage.
No.
Any marriage therapist will tell you that.
No one has a perfect marriage. And if they do, like I said earlier, they're not being honest. They're not being truthful, because marriage is work. Yes. Yeah. But it's always worth the investment.
So if you're just now joining us and this is your first time listening, I am Brandon Como. You know me here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. I am the brand manager here. And my wife, Hannah Como, she's a duly licensed therapist. And we've had the opportunity to share the microphone before doing this show together a few times. And we've always had a passion to be able to have a show like this one day. And now we finally get the opportunity to do so. We do have a podcast that we began before we started doing the show, which has been about a month ago now. Mm-hmm. But our podcast is also called The Modern Marriage as well. And so you can go there and take a listen to some previous conversations that we have had about some great issues. But today, this is a show that is from 5 to 6 every Sunday evening here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. And as we have been talking about today, we're going to touch on and talk about the five love languages between spouses and also when it comes to kids. So let's jump into the first one, Hannah.
Yeah, so the first one up is going to be words of affirmation. And Brandon, I know you know this one very well.
Yes, I'm very fluent in this one.
Yes, absolutely. Words of affirmation is compliments, pointing out when your spouse does something right. They love to hear things that are positive, things they're doing right, things you appreciate about them. Really just anything that you can tell them to be able to show them how much you appreciate them and love them.
Words do mean a lot to me.
Yeah.
I know that actions do as well, but words, you know, a kind word, especially from the right person, like you, for instance, can really touch my heart in a way that nobody can. So for me, words of affirmation, it would be what I would call my primary love language. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that I have learned about this, you know, learned about it early on and just, you know, continue to see is that your love languages show what is the most important to you. It also shows that if you're not getting that, that it also can show the area where you are maybe the weakest at, if you will, or the area that you don't feel the most loved if that love language is not being met. So, for instance, if someone is criticizing you, they're doing the opposite of giving you words of affirmation. And some people take criticism better than others. And I'm not talking about constructive criticism. I'm talking about negativity. Words that are very negative can hurt a lot more for people that words of affirmation is their primary love language.
Yes, good point. So when you have words of affirmation as your primary love language, mm-hmm. when your spouse is critical or negative or saying something, or even with their verbals or nonverbals that communicate disappointment, mm-hmm. This can be very hurtful. In fact, it can often hurt your spouse 10 times as it would another person,
right?
Because that's their love language. That's what they care the most about, mm-hmm. right? And so, again, this is why we have to be very careful that if your love language is words of affirmation or your spouse's love language is words of affirmation, then you want to make sure that you are feeding that love language. You are being complimentary. You are being positive. You are pointing out the things that they're doing right. Mm-hmm. And we also want to be careful that we are not being critical of our spouse or negative, because that can come off very hurtful to the person that you love.
Absolutely. So words of affirmation, it's something that I think many men would identify with words of affirmation being something that means a lot to them.
Yes.
Certainly not going to speak for all men, but I do think a lot of men, they want to be praised.
Yes.
I mean, and there's nothing wrong with admitting that. I think if for the men that are listening, really, as you go through these love languages, if you don't know your primary and your secondary love language, really think about them and ask, hey, which one am I? And I would be willing to bet that most men, words of affirmation is going to be that primary.
I would be willing to bet that as well. Yeah, okay. You're definitely right about that. Again, this is not for every man, but typically this is one that is really high on the priority list when it comes to men. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's a great point. So why don't you go into the second one?
Okay, so the second one is acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
So acts of service, basically doing things for your spouse that is an act of love, are what you would call, Hannah, a labor of love.
Yes, absolutely. And Brandon, I know that you often make a joke, but it has a little bit of truth to it, that when it comes to my love language and your love language, and I don't mind sharing that today, but You always say that you have to do a lot of work to make me feel loved, right?
Well, we joke about that. You're fluent in all five languages.
Sometimes. I am. I do love all five. That is very, very true.
Right.
But my primary love language is acts of service. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel so loved and appreciated when you do things, you know, such as making my coffee in the morning or doing things to help me out around the house or those things that you do take so much off of my plate and make me feel really loved and appreciated as a person. And so, like you always say, that you have to do so much to be able to make me feel loved. Mm-hmm. And with yours being, if you don't mind me sharing, words of affirmation, you always say, you just have to tell me positive things and give me compliments, right?
Well, I'd say you give the easy one, but that's because words of affirmation come easier to me. So one thing that you will find is that
you give the love language that you typically
have. Yeah, the one that you crave is the one that you give the best a lot of times. So for me, it's not hard to give a compliment.
Right.
I can do so, and I like to think that my use of words of affirmation was one thing that meant a lot to you when I was, you know, when I was trying to woo you, if you will. But, okay, so let's go to acts of service. Okay.
Right.
For many guys, and speaking from the male perspective, this is something that some of the acts of service come easier than others. Okay, like some guys, especially when they're like, you know, Mr. Fix-Its and very handy, it's easy for them to go ahead and do a project. And especially if that's their wife's primary love language, that works out great for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned some earlier. And so, you know, some of these include like, hey, doing chores around the house, like, say, you know, say your wife maybe does the dishes a good amount. Well, you jump in there and do the dishes for her. That's an act of service. It might be something that you don't enjoy doing, but it's an act of service that means a lot to her.
And you're noticing that. You're making sure and making that a priority, and your spouse is going to feel very loved and appreciated when you do things like that.
Absolutely.
And so just to compliment you for a minute, Brandon, is that you take the effort. You know, doesn't matter if you are exhausted, if you're tired. If you know, we are busy with our careers, we are busy with our kids, we have a very busy life, right? Mm-hmm. But you often do things that help me, you know, around the house or with the kids, and it makes me feel so loved and that you notice that those things really do mean a lot to me.
Well, I definitely appreciate you saying that. What I'll say in response to that is that, okay, so, you know, one thing we talk about is this is the modern marriage, you know, show. Okay, so in modern marriages, you have more couples that, you know, they take on, okay, they both have their own careers, okay? So that means a lot of times, if you're having both careers, you know, you don't really just have one person that handles all the housework. You have two people that are jumping in and doing it together.
It's changed a lot.
It's changed a lot. And
we live
very
busy lives, absolutely.
Yeah, I consider it teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
So especially when we both have careers and we both have, you know, demanding careers, well, you know, it all can't fall on that one person going home and trying to do taking care of the kids and taking care of all the chores and stuff. And so whatever you have to do as a couple to make sure that you feel like you're in a team doing it together is what I recommend.
Yeah.
Every couple is different. You know, one person in the relationship may have a job that's more strenuous than the other, which means that the other can take on a little bit more of the housework. You just never know. But however y'all make it work to make it come out as a team effort, that's what I always look at when I talk about this.
And I think it's a good point to also point out the fact that sometimes it's not always 50-50. So that means that sometimes if your schedule's really hectic or busy and you have a lot going on, I'm going to help out a little bit more. I'm going to take a little bit more on my plate, right? And vice versa. So if I have a lot going on with my career, I have things going on that I have to get done, then you'll help me out with the kids. You'll help me out with things. And again, it's not always going to be half and half, 50-50, because that's just not the way life looks sometimes. And so really you have to notice what your family needs, what's going to work for you and your spouse, and trying to be able to notice when your spouse needs you, because I think that's really whenever, you know, you're going to get the most noticed, whenever you are making the effort and noticing what they need.
Absolutely. So we are just getting started here on The Modern Marriage. I am Brandon. She is Hannah. And so what we're going to do here is take this quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the third, fourth, and fifth love language that we have not touched on yet. then we're going to also spend some time talking about love languages when it comes to your kids. If you're listening, this is The Modern Marriage with Brandon and Hannah Como. We'd love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us through the KPL News app. You can also send an email to Brandon at KPL965.com. That's Brandon at KPL965.com. Whether you've got a compliment for the show, whether you have something that you want to mention in relation to the topic, you've got a question, we'd just love to hear from you. Whatever it would be, just give us a shout, if you will, again, through the KPL News app or on email, Brandon at KPL965.com. We're going to take this first break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the love languages here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. You're listening to The Modern Marriage here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. Brandon and Hannah Como here with you. And today we have been talking about the five love languages. We started on the first two, one of them being words of affirmation. That's my primary love language. Words of affirmation, compliments, pointing out when your person does something very well. You know, it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. Sometimes it could be just something as simple as, I'm proud of you. I love the way you do this. Those little...
I appreciate you. Any of those.
There you
go.
Those little compliments, those little words, for someone that is, words of affirmation is their primary love language, that means a lot to them.
Right. And we also want to be careful, too, that if our spouse has a love language such as words of affirmation, we want to make sure that we stay clear of a lot of criticism, negativity, anything that could come off negative to your spouse. They're going to take that extremely personal.
Right. Now, the other love language that we discussed was acts of service. That's your
mine.
Primary.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I love words, but for me, I want acts of service. Mm-hmm. I want you to show me that you love me, right? I know it requires a little bit more work, but it just makes me feel so happy to know that you're doing the things. It, you know, words are great, but putting that action behind it makes all the difference.
But then it creates kind of a cycle because, okay, if you give me words of affirmation, that helps ignite something inside of me that wants to do an act of service for you, because then that makes you feel good. And then it just goes back and forth. And when you get in that kind of a cycle with your spouse, that becomes a really good thing.
That's so true. Yes. And so this goes back to like behavioral therapy. So just the idea of the fact that when you want positive things, when you want your spouse to do things that you really appreciate, make it a big deal. Really point it out. You know, make sure that you communicate. And just, you know, we often make the negative in our relationship more loud a lot of times than the things that are positive. And so when it comes to the things you appreciate about your spouse, make it a big deal. Really go the extra mile in letting them know that you appreciate them.
All right. So what's next on our list?
Okay. So number three is quality time. So they just want to spend time with you, okay? So that means hanging out. That means going on a walk, watching a movie together, sitting down and watching a TV show with your spouse. They just want to be with you, right? And so if your spouse's love language or your own love language is quality time, that's why making sure that you are making your spouse a priority is such a big deal for them. That means if you need to get up earlier before you start your day or before your kids start their day to be able to spend time together, that means a lot to them. If it is, you know, having what I call pillow talk before bed, just spending time with them talking, doing things that you enjoy, that just really goes a long way if your love language is quality time.
And I'll tell you, quality time sometimes can be the hardest one on this list to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you have two people that are very busy with the careers, with kids.
It's hard to make time for that. Yeah.
Yeah, there are so many things that are just clawing at that quality time, taking it up, that you have to be intentional about making quality time for the other person. And that's not even just if it's a, you know, their primary love language, just in general as a relationship.
And I think it goes back to really making a priority to connect with your spouse. And so that means that you have to be intentional with anything if you want to be successful at it, right? So it doesn't matter whether you have a business, whether you are trying to achieve a goal. If you have something in mind that you want to be successful at, you need to have intentional time, intentional investment to make that happen. And so, Brandon, let's talk about that for just a minute. How do we do that? How do we put that in place, right? So I'm going to put that question out for the listeners, for you. And so we're going to really talk about maybe how do we make that happen, right? And so to be intentional, number one is you have to put it on the calendar. You have to schedule it out, right? And so that means you're scheduling out date times. That means that you are making sure that you are having time early in the morning or before you go to bed. I recommend having at least 20, 30 minutes of each day where you spend time connecting with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Because if this is a big deal with your spouse, that quality time is their top love language, this is going to be something that needs to be prioritized. And so really think about how else you can do that. Again, it is very difficult to do. I know that sometimes, you know, making time for dates, again, is very difficult when you have children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, get a sitter. Ask grandmother to come over. Ask, you know, anyone, a neighbor, someone to be able to come over for a couple hours so you can go out with your spouse and have dinner together. And so you have to sometimes get creative with that, such as after the kids go to bed, pick up sushi and, you know, watch a movie together. Yeah. You know, you sometimes have to get creative when it comes to date nights, because if you have small kids and you have a busy career, it's hard to find sitters to make that happen.
I was going to say, see, with the careers, it can test it, but you can still find ways to, you know, get together and have that quality time. When you get young kids into the mix, that's when it becomes a lot more difficult. We have lived that for the past couple of years. We've got a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old.
It is.
And we love them dearly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's times where me, my wife and I look at each other and say, man, I miss you.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we are doing a lot of things with the kids and with our jobs and making sure that all those bases are touched. And, you know, we always have to say, hey, look, we got to spend some time with each other. We got to we have to make sure that we are, you know, filling our love tanks
and being intentional. And so again, that goes back to putting things on the calendar, scheduling out date nights, having check-ins throughout the week, having 20 to 30 minutes each day, whether you start your day with it or end your day with it, of spending time together that's uninterrupted and time to really connect with your spouse. And so again, we have to be intentional with anything we want to be successful at.
And one thing I want to say too, as we go through all these love languages, they're all very important, whether they're your primary, secondary.
Yes, absolutely.
They're all very important. And there are times in our lives where we will go from one being the primary love language to another.
And why is that? Why do you think that that sometimes changes?
I think because we change.
Yeah,
I think as humans, we change. You know, like I could see someone that maybe their primary love language is something like words of affirmation or acts of service. But then as they get older and start to realize, hey, I have less, you know, as I'm getting older, it's less time, you know, left to be spent on this earth. I want to spend more quality time with that person that I love, you know?
So another thing I think that's also a big component on why that may change, which is why I encourage you to go take the 5 Love Languages quiz and do that every few years, just to make sure that your primary and secondary are the same. And one reason I believe that it changes is because as your spouse feels one of those love languages and does a great job with it, then there's a bigger attention focus on the other ones that have not been filled.
Ah.
So if your spouse spends a lot of time, you know, with words of affirmation and quality time, then the other 5 love languages are going to feel like they're a bigger deal because those are not getting the attention that maybe the other ones are. And so that's why sometimes it would change, because when one love tank is filled, if you're getting your primary and your secondary, then the other ones seem like that they're not getting attention as well. And so, again, we always focus what we don't have as humans instead of focusing on what we do have. We have to retrain our mind to be able to do that. So interesting thing. I love psychology. I love studying everything involving relationships and people. I've spent my life dedicated to be able to do that. And so I love talking about topics like this. So, okay. So what's next, Brandon?
Yes. Up next on the list is one that you are really good at: gifts. That's one area that my wife is really good at and that I struggle. And I really, sometimes when she comes up with a gift idea, I'm like, man, where did you get that? And part of it has to do with creativity. Part of it has to do with, you know, knowing your spouse. And part of it is, I think, just having a skill to do it.
Yeah. I think
Hannah has
creative.
A really good skill Not just at finding a gift, but finding it what you want at a very good price.
It's important. You want a good deal. It's so important. But yes, Brandon, I think that's so true, is that, you know, if gifts are a big deal to you and your spouse, mm-hmm. it's important that you do those things pretty often. And so that may mean that you pick up flowers when you go to the grocery store for your spouse, or you pick up their favorite candy bar, their drink that they like, or you pick something up, or a card. You know, it doesn't have to be super big or expensive item, but mm-hmm. just a small gesture throughout the day, throughout the weeks, you know, throughout the year, to mm-hmm. let that spouse know that they really mean a lot to you.
Now, for some women, like my wife, she likes it if I pick up some flowers on the way home and bring them to her at the house. She likes to put the flowers on display in the kitchen. Some women like for you to be able to have the flowers delivered at work, where
other women
people
are
there to see it, and they can see how much she feels loved.
Yeah.
Every woman is different.
Every woman is different. Every person is different. And part of it is just knowing your spouse. And I think that means a lot to your spouse when you know them, when you know what they like, when you know what's important to them. The more you're able to show that to them, they really feel seen and they feel validated and they feel like you really know who they are and they feel loved.
All right, what is the last of the five love languages?
The one that's last is going to be physical touch.
Okay.
And this one is probably one that's up there for men as well, right?
But it also can be misconstrued as well.
Yes. So we want to clarify by saying that physical touch doesn't always mean physical intimacy.
Right.
It does sometimes, but it means more than that.
Yeah.
So it means cuddling. It means holding each other and giving them a hug or kissing them. Mm-hmm. You know, it means more than just intimacy. Right. And so if your spouse's primary love language is, say, words of affirmation and physical touch means that rubbing them on the back or giving them a hug or kissing them on the cheek, those things will go a long way.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to know that. And one other thing that I wanted to say regarding what works best a lot for females mm-hmm. is that females also love physical touch, but they also want that throughout the day that yeah. doesn't lead to physical intimacy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they want you to be able to kiss them and hug them with the idea that it may or may not lead to anything else, right?
Right.
So I just want to be clear about that.
Absolutely. And so this is one, again, that for some guys, they'll immediately say, yes, physical touch, that's me. But it, again, this is, and look, I'll just say, you know, cuddling, holding each other, hugs and kisses. It's a great feeling when you
right.
have that special someone to do that with.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't lead to what we ultimately as guys want it to lead to. But it's still great.
Really important part to be able to show your spouse you love them.
Yeah.
And again, by going online, taking that five love languages quiz mm-hmm. is going to help you figure out which one is your primary and secondary, and is going to help you know what your spouse's is. And once you know that, then you can love them based on their love language. You know, again, it's not that they don't love all five, and all people, you know, need a majority of some of the five.
Right.
But we also want to remember that if their primary or secondary is up there higher than the rest of them, we want to make sure that that's a focus.
So words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, gifts, physical touch, those are the five love languages. Which one is your primary? Which one is your secondary? Once you figure that out, or talk with your spouse to figure it out as well. Your spouse may be able to tell you which one is your favorite before you even realize it.
It's so funny whenever I get couples to kind of guess what their spouse's love language is and what they think their love language is. And sometimes you can do that before you take the quiz. But I encourage all couples to go take the quiz online. You know, find out what your love language is, find out what your spouse's is, and make sure that y'all talk about that afterward, because it's a really fun quiz. It's something to get the conversation going, and it also lets you know how to really love your spouse.
So when we come back from the next break, we're going to talk about the five love languages and how they relate to your kids. You're listening to The Modern Marriage here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. Welcome back. It's the final segment of The Modern Marriage. Brandon and Hannah Como. If you're just now joining us, we've been talking about the five love languages: words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, gifts, and physical touch. And now in our final segment, we're going to talk about the five love languages, but for your kids.
Yeah. So, Brandon, I love that we're bringing this topic up because we just started talking about the five love languages for couples, but also we forget a lot of times that kids have love languages too, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us to remember that we don't only need to know what our love language is, we don't only need to know what our spouse is, but we also need to know that we have kids that have love languages too. And just like, you know, adults that have personalities and love languages, kids do too. And so when you go online to the5lovelanguages.com, take a quiz for you and your spouse, but also take the quiz if you have kids as well, because they have a kid version. And it's going to ask you questions to help you figure out which one fits best for your children.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the five love languages and how they relate to children, we talk about the fact that, of course, kids need all five, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they need the quality time. They need you to be able to get them something every once in a while to show them that you love them, right?
Right.
They need to hear the words of affirmation, mm-hmm. right? But there's going to be a primary and secondary that typically is going to be higher for them than the rest of them.
Yeah.
And so to figure out what those are. And I think it's so interesting because, Brandon, we were both kind of talking about this before mm-hmm. we started the show today.
Right.
And we were kind of guessing to figure out which one fits best for our son and which one fits best for our daughter.
Micah's pretty easy.
Yeah.
He's a talker, and he also loves to have compliments thrown his way.
Yes.
He is a words of affirmation.
If you praise him, if you give him compliments, his face is going to boom. He's going to get so excited.
Oh, yeah.
His heart's going to flutter. Like, he is going to be the happiest little boy you have ever seen in your
life.
Yeah,
you clap for him, and he wants to clap with you.
He's,
and
he's just so excited, right?
So excited.
His energy level is so, so great. And so, again, words of affirmation go so far for him, right?
But here's where our daughter
is a little bit different.
Is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So
she loves
quality time.
Yeah. I love that you said that because she wants you to spend time with her. Yeah. You know, whenever I spend time with her in the mornings and when Brandon gets home in the afternoon to spend time, she wants Brandon to come over there with her on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to get in his lap. She wants to watch her favorite TV show.
Yes.
And she wants her and daddy time.
Yeah.
And if you try to disturb her in the midst of her and daddy time, she is going to communicate to you that she is not happy with that, right? And
absolutely.
So she's even kind of shooed me away, you know, from being close. And I'm like, I just want to watch TV too. I would want to hang out too.
Yeah, yeah.
But that quality time is really, really important. And mm-hmm. when she misses you throughout the day, she looks forward to you coming home from work. And
yes,
so
absolutely.
It's important to be curious about which love language your kids have.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be make sure as parents, we need to make sure we are feeding that love language to our children.
Well,
because if we don't, mm-hmm. they're going to grow up with their love language on starvation. And then they're going to go out looking for that love language in the wrong places.
And I'll be honest with you, as a parent, it's fun to notice their love language and to feed it.
Yeah.
You know, like with Micah, it's a blast
to
give him a compliment and watch him react to it. And with my daughter, whenever, I mean, it is one of the best feelings in the world, sitting down and watching her favorite TV show or just hanging out with her and seeing the look in her face that says, I'm content right now because I'm here with my daddy.
Yeah.
Or watching when she does it with my wife, Hannah,
and
just seeing how content she is to be getting that quality time. It really is very rewarding as a parent.
And I think we, as this generation is starting to become more emotionally intelligent and realizing how we need to respond emotionally to not only our spouse, but to our children and understanding their emotions and understanding what they need. Because if we're able to provide that, they're going to be able to be more balanced in their life. And they're, again, like I said, they're not going to be in starvation mode where they're looking for that in other places. Or the wrong places. And so the more we're able to be able to do that as parents, the more we're setting the stage of what they're going to expect from their spouse later on. And how important is that? Because when it comes to my daughter and my son, I want them to pick good people because who you marry is the most important decision of your life.
Right, right. And we as parents have to model the behavior. We have to model the five love languages. We have to do all that for them.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But
it comes with the responsibility. It comes with the territory. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
But, you know, look, I'll say this for our kids. You know, we joke a lot of times. Well, hey, you know, y'all don't have bills yet. What worries do you have?
Their life is easy. Yeah.
But But I think we're living in a world that it's very difficult for kids to grow up in sometimes.
Yeah, and I think because what is difficult for them was not difficult for us. And so we can begin to talk about when it comes to social media or, you know, the technology of the world and how that has changed things so much that makes it a little bit different from what we grew up in.
And I think one thing that maybe doesn't get talked about enough is raising emotionally intelligent kids will help better prepare them for this emotionally unbalanced world that we live in.
Yes, that is so true. Preach, because that is absolutely so important. And I really want the obligation as parents for us to take that as a responsibility, that we need to do that for our children, because if we don't, it's going to create a lot of problems long term down the line.
All right, so as we wrap up today's conversation, we've been talking about the five love languages for spouses, for couples, and for children. But there's something that I even learned about today as we were preparing for the show, and it's something that you wanted to talk about and share with our listeners, called the 222 rule.
So in our time here on The Modern Marriage, we've talked about connecting with your spouse. And so when it comes to the 222 rule, it's all about making sure that you're being intentional with your spouse time and you are being proactive in your relationship, right? That means you're planning ahead. You are putting things on the schedule. We talked about that earlier in today's show. So I love the 222 rule because it's all about investing in your relationship and being intentional with your time when it comes to your relationship. And so the 222 rule, just to go over, if you haven't heard about it, it means that twice a month you go on a date together, right? So every other week, go on a date. And that can be a day date with your spouse. That can be a night date if you have a sitter. But making sure that you're prioritizing that. And sometimes you have to be creative with it. So the 222 rule means twice a month you go on a date. Every other month you go on an overnight trip or a weekend trip just to get away without the kids, without anybody else, just making sure that you're doing that, you know, every couple months. And then the last thing is twice a year you need to go on a big trip. That means more than an overnight trip, maybe a few days, maybe a long week. But making sure that you have time that you're investing when it comes to your relationship with your spouse. So, Brandon, do you remember before we had kids, right? Because this is so much easier. Before we had children, do you remember how many getaways we would take? How many times we would just say, hey, you want to like leave for the weekend and go somewhere?
A lot more than now.
A lot more than now, yes. Yeah. So we definitely have to be more intentional when you have children and you have to plan ahead, because it takes a lot when you have kids and you have to be intentional with that.
Yeah.
But even thinking back whenever we would take those long weeks off and we would do like an all-inclusive resort and spa in like the Caribbean. And I remember doing things like that.
Right.
Because before we had kids, we were married for a good 5 years, right? Before we decided to expand our family.
Yeah.
And so we really spent some time doing that, investing in that.
Absolutely.
Maybe it wasn't enough though, because now I look back and I'm like, we should have went more places.
Well, but let's say this too, that investing that we were doing was building up the savings account, if
absolutely,
you will,
absolutely.
For this time period that we've had the last couple of years where, you know, we haven't really gone. We've gone on vacations,
but
with
the kids
quotation
come.
Marks
yes.
around them because the kids are there.
And that's not even a vacation. Nah, let's be honest. When you take your children somewhere, you're just, I saw this on Facebook recently, but it says when you go on a trip with your kid, it's not a vacation. Mm-hmm. You're just taking your kids and watching them in a different city,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Especially at this level. We know
when
they get
very,
older,
very
it'll
small,
be a lot.
It's
going to
be different, I'm sure.
It'll be different. But right now, you know, vacations, if you will, really are just taking them to other areas and just showing them other cool things.
Yeah, and we love that. Mm-hmm. We love doing that with our children. Yeah. But it's also important that you prioritize that time with your spouse.
Right.
So what I love about the 222 rule, again, is twice a month go on a date with your spouse. A couple every other month go on a overnight trip or a weekend getaway with your spouse. And at least twice a year, do a few days to a week away and just have time with your spouse uninterrupted, spending time connecting, and see how much that investment is going to help your relationship.
All right, and so that will do it for this edition of The Modern Marriage. You've been listening to Brandon and Hannah Como here on News Talk 96.5 KPL. As always, we love that you get to join us here on Sunday evenings from 5 to 6. We'd love to hear from you as well. You can email us, Brandon at KPL965.com. That's Brandon at KPL965.com. Or you can go ahead and send us a message on the KPL News app. We'd love to hear from you, whether you have a comment on the show, whether you want to ask a question, or whether you just want to let us know that you're listening. We always love to hear from you. You are the ones that we do this show for, and we have a blast getting to do this each and every week.
Absolutely.
Here on News Talk 96.5 KPL.
It's been a blast. Thank you, Absolutely. Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Modern Marriage Podcast with Brandon and Hannah Como. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and share. For additional information and resources, head over to themodernmarriage.com to receive your free gift on 7 keys to a successful marriage. This podcast is not meant to provide counseling, but if you are living in Louisiana and are seeking individual, couples, or family counseling, go to comocounseling.com to find out how to get started, or follow us on Facebook at Como Counseling and Consulting.